Beloved congregation, the Song of Mary celebrates some wonderful news that the Lord God, through an angel, brought to the Virgin Mary. She was told that she would actually carry within her the Son of God, Jesus, her Savior. Now, surely, that is something to sing about, isn't it? But do we as believers not have a reason as well to sing about a similar wonderful news that has happened to us? And I'm saying that we as believers, do we not as believers carry about within us the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I quoted a text this morning from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where the Apostle Paul himself says, Christ in me. And doesn't the Lord Jesus himself also states it, that I in them? And so believers may indeed say, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is within me. I may carry Him in my heart, in my life. Well then, believers may also have something to learn from the Song of Mary. And I trust that we will learn something from the Song of Mary this evening. And that we too would be encouraged again to magnify the Lord our God. And so let's do it by way of the following theme, very simple theme, Mary magnifies her Savior. 2 points we want to consider. In the first place, for His mercy, and then secondly, for His might. So Mary magnifies her Savior for His mercy, and secondly, for His might. Now, congregation, it must indeed have been wonderful news that Mary received from the Lord God through the angel. Wonderful news, which no doubt she could not fully comprehend, understand, and wrap her head around. Imagine to actually carry around with you Jesus. To become personally the physical mother of the Son of God. As I said already, her mind could not really grasp all of this. But really, her faith did, though. Her faith embraced it. And you see, that is what is important for you and for me as well. There may be things that you and I do not understand as to what the Lord God is doing with us and for us. There's certain things that we just say, I just don't know. But let us continue to trust in the Lord God. Let us embrace whatever He does to us in faith and say, what the Lord God has done is well done. You see, then faith becomes a practice of surrender, so to speak. Faith then becomes a submission to the will of God. And how wonderful that is when we experience this in our personal lives. Well, this was certainly the case then with the Virgin Mary as well. When she said, for instance, in verse 38 of Luke 1, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. After this, Mary, being assured of God's promises, left her hometown of Nazareth and went to visit her elderly cousin Elizabeth, somewhere away from Nazareth. And it was there in the home of Mary, or of Elizabeth rather, that Mary became overwhelmed with this whole thing, and she broke out in song, and she burst forth, as it were, My soul shall magnify the Lord. It doth magnify the Lord. Literally, my soul makes the Lord God great. Now, boys and girls, We know, don't we, that we cannot make the Lord God any greater than what He is already. He is the greatest one already. We know that, don't we? And so we can't make Him any greater, but we can certainly declare Him to be great. We can declare, announce, sing about His greatness. Lord my God, how great Thou art, that song. We can invite others to greater thoughts of the Lord God. We can ourselves also be stimulated to have greater thoughts of Him as well. And we can do that in dialoguing with others. We can do that in singing the praises of God. You see, boys and girls, this is one of the reasons, or this is actually one of the great reasons why the Lord God saves people. He saves them so that they may make Him great and declare Him great. As it says, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, to the praise of the glory of His praise. This is why God has created these people on earth. I have created them. They shall show forth my praise, you see. Well, when we praise God, we have come to our right and dutiful employment. You see, we are not saved just merely for our own sake and for our own comfort. Mind you, it does bring great comfort. No, but really, this is why we are saved. So that we may express in word, we may express in thought, we may express in deed, and we may express in song as well, the greatness of our Lord and God and Savior. Now, dear people, let us be serious about this as we have come away from the table of the Lord today. Let us be serious about this sort of thing. Because, you see, do you and I not also have good reason to magnify the Lord? True enough, I realize that there are many reasons that we could possibly complain. We could complain about ourselves. We could complain about our situation in life. We could complain about our physical condition, especially as we get a little bit older. Yes, I have this, I have that problem. We could complain about that. We could complain about our family situation. This has happened and that has happened. Yes, we would have many reasons to complain. But now think of this for a moment, dear people. If that would be our only occupation in life, complaining, we would show ourselves to be rather self-centered. Self-centered. Well, God's Word, through the example of Mary, shows the way out of this self-centeredness and self-centered attitude. My soul does not complain, she says. No, God has given me a much better reason. He has given me a much greater employment. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And there, people, that sort of employment will continue on into eternity, unstinted. There will be no layoffs in that forever. In fact, once we come to be with the Lord, we will be perfected in the praises of His great and glorious name. Isn't that something to look forward to? But now, what is it that inspired Mary to magnify the Lord? Well, it is, first of all, I would want to say, it is, first of all, the mercy of the Lord. If you go back a little bit in Luke chapter 1, you will discover that Mary confessed herself to be but a maidservant, a handmaiden of the Lord. And so, one of the first things, therefore, that she mentions is that He, the Lord God, hath regarded the low estate of His maidservant, His handmaiden, verse 48. And though Mary, she could not boast of any sort of suitability to become the mother of Jesus, nothing of the sort. She could not boast of any sort of respectability or any sort of qualifying background. True, she was of the royal line of David, but that royal line had dried up, so to speak. And Mary knew herself to be reduced to a maidservant, engaged to a poor carpenter in a poverty-struck town of Nazareth. And no, Mary, she could not boast in any sort of commendable background whatsoever. And she could not boast even of any sort of character or of any sort of disposition that qualified her for this sort of thing that the Lord has given her. She could not even, and she would not even boast of her good and moral behavior, or of her piety, or of her knowledge of the Bible, though she had much knowledge of the Bible, as this song points out to us. But Mary would only boast in the Lord. In the Lord. She could speak highly of Him. She could sing highly of the Lord. And that the Lord was pleased to show her mercy. He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. Literally, He has looked in mercy upon the humiliated state of His handmaiden, maidservant. And so you see, Mary sang about the mercy of the Lord, about the mercy that He, the Lord God, has shown to her personally in a saving and in a promising way. Now, dear people, this should also be one of the things that should inspire believers to sing about. The mercy of the Lord to you and to me. May the Lord not also expect this of us as we have come away from the table of the Lord. The mercy that we have personally experienced even this day already. Doesn't that prompt us to sing Psalter number 241, for instance, I sing of mercies that endure. Or from Psalter number 55, Thy goodness, Lord, shall guide me. Thy mercy cheer my way. Or the words from Psalm 89, verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. Now you see, this is what is called magnifying the Lord. By singing His mercies that have been personally experienced. And isn't that ultimately also what has led you and me to the table of the Lord today, dear people? His mercy. Nothing else. His mercy. I trust it wasn't merely just your background that led you to the table this day. I trust it wasn't your philosophy. Well, you see, after all, I'm a confessed member of this congregation and therefore I have a right to come. I trust that was not the case with you. It wasn't merely your previous piety or your orthodoxy or your Bible knowledge that has brought you to the table of the Lord, did it? I trust that it was the mercy of the Lord that compelled you to come to this table. A felt awareness, you see, that God has looked upon you in mercy, in favor. A felt realization that He, the Lord God, has heard and that He has answered your prayer, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, the feelings of undeserved favor, because really that's what mercy means. The feelings of undeserved favor took you to the table of the Lord. Well, I trust that this is what has brought you to the table of the Lord today. And if this is the case, dear people, then the Lord's mercy will also be the contents of your and my song in personal testimonies. You see, then the Holy Spirit will not leave you to neglect magnifying the Lord and singing about His great mercy towards you. then at times you will want to gather your friends around you, you want to gather your loved ones around you, you want to speak to them about how the Lord has shown great mercy to you as well, that He, the Lord God, saved a wretch like you, and that you could even sing then as well, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. In the upcoming Christmas season, I ask you, will your family gatherings be lent also to magnifying the Lord your God and the Lord's mercies? It's such a busy and hectic time, isn't it, for many of us, at least where we live in the Niagara Peninsula. There's so many things happening around this time, with all the traveling and with making many lavish dinners, with the hustle and bustle of gift-giving perhaps, this performance to go to, that program to attend to, another choir to listen to. Will there be any time to reflect upon the mercies of the Lord our God? Will there be opportunity for us to make this our heartfelt expression to others and to the Lord? Will we take time for this? Now we know that the spirit of the times and also the spirit of the Christmas season is not always in harmony with the spirit of God, is it? But no doubt this is therefore also one of the good reasons why it's so good and proper to have the celebration of the Lord's Supper so close to the Christmas season or in the Christmas season as well. So that you and I can be reminded again that our task amidst all the festivities and amidst all the gatherings of friends and relatives is that we magnify the Lord our God and His mercy, because He has shown that to us. Well, we know that Mary could certainly sing of that, and that in a very eloquent but also in a very biblical way. If you would go and study the Song of Mary a little bit, you will discover how many quotes she has from Old Testament Scripture. And then, it is not only the mercy that the Lord has shown to her personally, you see, but also about the mercy of the Lord that would go towards others as well, as she sings of this, for instance, in verse 50, and His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation, verse 50. You see, for a few moments, Mary actually became a prophetess and somewhat of a preacher of the mercies of the Lord. She could declare that such mercies of the Lord were not only hers alone to enjoy, but that these mercies of the Lord were there for others as well. For children. For grandchildren. For future generations who would fear and who would love the Lord, who would come to believe in the Lord, the Savior, the mercies of the Lord would also be for them. And there are people again, there is a wonderful little application, isn't it? Because if you have experienced something of the Lord's mercies, then you will want to share those mercies of the Lord with others as well. Because the more you value the riches of the mercies of the Lord God, the more you will desire to see others value those mercies as well. And this is therefore something that you need to remember as you come away from the table of the Lord, you see. Has mercy led you to the celebrations of the Lord's Supper? Then mercy should also lead you to reach out to others and have you become, as it were, the hands of the Holy Spirit as instruments of mercy towards your fellow man. Or to say it very plainly so that everyone understands this, mercy is never hoarded, but always shared. Mercy is never hoarded, but always shared. And therefore, will something of the Lord's mercies beam forth from you, my friend, during this Christmas season? Will you look for opportunities during this Christmas time to approach an unbeliever, for instance, and do so in a kind and in a loving way for their soul, and recommend to him and to her the mercies of the Lord. It is so natural for us, isn't it, to be rather critical, to be self-righteously upset, to be condemning of those who live in disobedience to God's holy laws. It is so natural for us, isn't it, to turn our back on those who live in the quagmire of sin, so to speak, and say then in a self-righteous way, well, I don't want to associate with them. It's not the way to go. It's not the way to go. Because what have we accomplished then? That's not where our responsibilities end, by criticizing them. No. There must be more on our part. Should we not be looking for openings, dear people, and praying for an opening for us as well, so that we can insert a word of the Lord's mercy towards those kind of people? Isn't that part of what we are to do as we have experienced mercy? Should we, you and I, should we not look for opportunities to have a kind word for a miserable sinner and tell him that the mercy of the Lord that you personally have experienced is also available to him or to her? Well, you see, this is how you and I should come away from the table of the Lord, magnifying him for his great mercy, and with a desire to share that mercy with others. And this, you see, this is how Mary came away from the mercy of the Lord's visit to her. And then, it's not only that she boasted in the mercy of the Lord, but as we must consider this in the second place, she could also boast in the might of the Lord. This is what Mary did very well. Her whole song, you see, and let me just put it all together for a moment. Her whole song basically had two points: the mercy of the Lord and the might of the Lord. We hear, for instance, in verse 49, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things." Then we read in verse 51, "He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." And then we read yet in verse 52, "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." You see, Mary magnifies the Lord also for his might. She declared him great in song because of the power that belongs to the Lord our God. Mary witnessed it, and she confesses as well, and she testifies about the strength of God Almighty. And again, she spoke of it and she sang of it as she's experienced it herself personally. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things." And no doubt, Mary must first of all have been referring to that great thing that God had done to her to make her a virgin, conceive and begin to carry a holy child. No doubt, Mary must have been referring to that time of which we read, for instance, in verse 35, that the power of the holiest and of the highest overshadowed her. Herein, God certainly, by the Holy Spirit, displayed something of his mighty power. You see, Jesus was conceived, and as it were, born in her, and would soon be born of her. And therefore, how great the power of the Lord our God is, that he could actually place the seed of conception in the womb of this virgin. That he could do that sort of thing, and have this seed placed in her womb form a man-child, of whom the Lord God himself could declare, "This is my beloved Son, in imagine. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That was the instruction that the Lord God gave both to Joseph and to Mary. You and I, we stand amazed with an ordinary conception and birth of a little one. With each newborn child, we marvel again, don't we, at the greatness and the power of God, that He can create such a marvelous little bundle of life. But imagine how it must have been for Mary. That bundle of life that she was carrying was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Overwhelming it was, I'm sure it was. How mighty God is to be able to do that sort of a thing. That He could do something that great. And therefore it's no wonder, is it, that Mary broke forth in songs of adoration to extol the mighty power of God personally experienced. But now I ask you, cannot every believer sing something very similar as well? Not only because of the mercy that the Lord God has shown you, but also because of the might of the Lord God towards you. That He has caused the Lord Jesus Christ to be born in your heart and in your life. That He, the Lord God, that He has overcome and overthrown the wicked one in your heart. The might and the power of God. That He could resist the evil one, overcome him, and put something good in you. I want to give you an example. I believe it was December the 6th, a blog from Dr. David Murray, who refers the reader to a particular speech that was delivered somewhere here in North America, delivered by an Iranian man. An Iranian man who was quite high up in government circles, especially during the time of Khomeini. And this man actually became one of the three that formed Hezbollah, which is of course a very radical Muslim group that wants to wipe out all Christians and wipe out all Jewish people. This man, in a miraculous way, was changed from a radical Muslim to a Christian who could speak not only of the mercy of God, but also of the might of God. How God changed his heart and in his life. And dear friends, I would recommend if you can also get this particular speech and you can watch it, you can hear it, it will move you. Because this man spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with tears in his eyes, he said, Jesus is so good. He's so good. He is so good. The might of God to overcome that radical desire to wipe out all those who are not Islamic. What a wonderful thing it is, what God can do in the heart and life of a person. One example. But is that not the same with us, you and me? That God has taken care of that enmity within us, and that He has replaced it with love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That He was so mighty that He rescued us from the bondage of sin. And dear people, young people, this is not a small matter. To be rescued from the bondage of sin. You and I who have experienced this sort of thing will recognize and we will confess this as well. It was not merely, dear people, it was not merely just a simple nod of the head or a momentary decision. Yes, I will now decide for Christ or that sort of thing. It was not just a quick change of the will, but it was the work of Almighty God. Almighty God. He came with His convicting and with His slaying word. He came and He broke through, as it were, with His mighty Holy Spirit. He called my conscience to life. He made my heart soft for Him. He moved my soul to sorrow and to repent of sin. He gave me to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He caused me to surrender myself to Him and to entrust my whole self to Him. There came a time in my life, and each believer will be able to say it as well, that the Lord God became too strong for me. And this is why I want to magnify the Lord God along with Mary. He that is mighty hath done to me great things. You have been at the table of the Lord today. I trust you know something of the might of the Lord God as well, and that you too are prepared to magnify Him for the greatness that He has done to you. Now I realize that this mighty power of the Lord God is not experienced by every believer in the same way and to the same degree. I realize this. In some, the mighty power of God is felt especially in convicting you and in slaying you as a sinner. And you possibly even know the moment when you were converted, when you were arrested, so to speak. Arrested by that mighty hand of God. And that moment of arrest stands as the sign and as the time when you were converted, when you were born again. This is when God's hand became too strong for you. And then you cried out in mercy, even as Saul of Tarsus cried out in mercy to the Lord God and begged the Lord God to show him what He would have him to do. But for others, the mighty power of God is felt especially by the tender, loving calls of Jesus the Savior. His loving overtures, they have been irresistible. You have not been able to ignore them, though you wanted to, but you couldn't. You were irresistibly drawn to it. And those drawing of the cords of love could sometimes be so strong. The Savior's tenderness towards you has sometimes been felt so strongly that at times you became overwhelmed by it all. It melted you, as it were, into submission to anything the Lord God wanted to do with you. The Lord, as it were, overpowered you then with His love. Have you ever been overpowered by the love of God? Have you ever been overwhelmed that He, the great and holy and mighty God, has looked down in love to you, unworthy sinner? While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. How did He die for us? Because He loved us. He loved us. Do you know that He loved you? Do you love Him because He first loved you? Well, no matter which mighty power of the Lord God has been the most overwhelming in your life, dear friend, and in many cases I would have to say that the Holy Spirit works both sides of this mighty power at the same time, that is the power of conviction and the power of love, and somehow they mesh together and they change you from a sinner to a saint. One thing, and every believer is convinced of it, that it is the Lord God's mighty power that deserves to be magnified. Are you prepared to do this, dear people? Are you prepared to do this as you come away from celebrating the Lord's Supper? Are you prepared to magnify the Lord for His mighty power that has been displayed in you in whatever way it might have been? Are you prepared to sing about it with the psalmist of Psalm 68, for instance? Our God is near to help us. Our God is strong to save. Then such reliance on the strength of the Lord God Almighty will also characterize your life from here on in, you see. You may know that the Lord will not forsake you. He will not leave you. He will be your defense. He will be your security. We've talked about it at the table earlier, didn't we? He will guard you from evil. You may count on that. And you will know this as well, that it's the proud of heart and those who are rich in themselves who will have something to be afraid of in regard to the might of the Lord God. You see, Mary mentions that as well, even here in this song. The proud of heart, you see, they had better be aware that the Lord will scatter them, and that they who continue to be rich in themselves and are quite content with themselves and have no need of anything, you see, that they had better know that the Lord will send them away empty. Empty. Those who feel high and mighty in themselves, let it be known that the Lord will put them down. And therefore I plead with you, you who still feel quite content with yourself, you who feel that you deserve a high and mighty seat, you who know that you are better than some others, watch out. Let this word speak to you as well. Turn to the Lord God, because He is mightier than you. You cannot fight against Him. Young people, remember this. You may want to bolt against the ways of the Lord. You may want to say, like the prodigal son, give me what I deserve and then go out. But the Lord God is stronger than you. And so I pray, submit to Him. Plead His mercy. Call upon Him while it is still the day of grace. And today is the day of grace. Call upon Him. Mary had to mention all of this in her song too yet. And so, we had better speak of it as well. And therefore I plead with you. You do not know the Lord God yet in His mercy or in His might. Plead for His mercy, that He may show that to you. Pray that He may show something of His might in your heart and in your life as well. And then when God comes over with His mercy and with His might, why not submit to Him? Why not submit to Him? And so become saved. Why? Well, first of all, so that you too will learn to praise and to magnify Him. That you will too be amongst that choir that will lift up harp and voice and praises to Him, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, so that the next time the congregation celebrates the Lord's Supper, you too may be here, sitting amongst those who have become hungry for Christ. Amen.